Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, whatever time of dimension that you're in. This is your host, Chris. Welcome to Interstellar Frequency. Welcome to Interstellar Frequency. This is your host, Chris. This is a recording on the fly. Hey, you guys. Hello again. You know, right now I'm obviously in between towers and recording in the truck, driving down the highway. Once again. Although, you know, I originally wanted to get the whole setup going for the short story, but I couldn't do that because I've gotten really busy this week and it kind of backfired on me what I originally was intentioned to do, which is fine. That's not that big of a deal. On the other hand, you know, I am kind of astonished at this present moment because the freeway that I'm on is a freeway that one of my coworkers that I used to work with long ago in 2000, what had that been? 2013, 2014, I think, maybe. Can't quite remember. We worked for a company together. We saw each other every single day, go out on routes and stuff, delivering stuff to the semi. I was driving, you know, doubles, and the other individual that I was working with was driving a 48-foot trailer, and I was one of the last drivers that, or at least somebody that he knew prior to him losing his life. I didn't never really get to talk to him too much or know much about him. You know, we just always said hi and bye and be safe, da da da. You know, just the kind of the normal thing that you do as a driver every time you see your fellow driver. And right now I'm driving on that freeway, passing the spot at this very moment that I'm recording this, the spot where he ended up losing his life. And I remember looking over at him, and he was kind of distraught and a little, you know, scared or freaked, or he was a little, he just, his things just didn't seem right when I looked over at him, and I was kind of passing, you know, on the freeway. And I was like, I looked over to my left, and he's all the way over in the, you know, number one lane, which is, any of you that may know, number one lane on a freeway is the center, you know, from the center divider lane, counting from the left to the right. So depending on how many lanes there are on the freeway, counting from the center would be number one, and then number two, three, four, five. Most of the time, trucks are supposed to be in the far number three and number two lanes, never in the number one. Never. Never in a million years, unless there's only one lane. If there's two lanes, technically the truck driver is only supposed to be in the number two lane. Here in California, that is. Anywhere else, you can go anywhere, it seems like. Most of the other states don't care. California is very strict about that. They want you to stay far right, which is fine, but it's just crazy enough that some regular four-wheelers don't ever, and those of you that don't know, four-wheelers are regular cars and not a semi-driver, that we should call them four-wheelers. A lot of times they don't ever stay and follow the rules of the road and moving over to their far right if they like to cruise in the number one lane, which is not okay. That's not allowed. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to pass the individual and then get back over in the right lane. And technically, your left lane is really supposed to be a passing lane only, not a cruising lane. If you want to cruise, you cruise. Bear with me. I'm trying to do this while maintaining running a business stuff and doing stuff and answering phone calls and trying to record all at the same time and, you know, wearing multiple hats at the same time. Anyways, the point was I wasn't trying to necessarily talk about the rules of the road in the driving situation, but, and oh, by the way, I may end up losing, you may hear this drop out as I'm talking mid-sentence, and then I'll turn around and continue the recording after dealing whatever I deal with. So this is as real recording as it gets. This is definitely authentic in its 100% means. Wow. Yeah. So the point behind this of why I'm doing this recording, and especially about the fact that we losing a coworker on this freeway at this time long ago, God, it wasn't even really that long ago. I mean, it is, but it isn't at the same time. And I don't know, maybe some individuals that I used to work with know exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, my condolences and reality wise to the family of the loss. And still, even though that this happened years ago, there's not a day that goes by that I don't drive this freeway every single day, day in, day out, and see his face and remember him. He will be forever in my memory until the day that I get to see him again. And, you know, drop a little bit of a spiritual thing of my spirituality through my eyes and stuff like that. In a way, I have certain beliefs, and we're not going to get too much into that, but on the other hand, you know, I know for a fact that that individual, every time I think about him and come across it, I feel that in a way he's basically overseeing the freeway. You know, it's like, it's no different than like the men lost at sea or whatever stories that there are, or, you know, like for prime example of that movie, oh my God, what is it, with Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher, I can't think of the name right now, the U.S. Coast Guard guy, and God, I can't remember the name of the movie. Anyways, you know, Kevin Costner had passed, you know, saving people and da da da, and then he goes around saving people even though that he's not there, you know, kind of thing. And so far in that section of that freeway from those years on, I have never seen another crash in that same spot. There's been close calls in that same spot, but there's never been a crash in that same spot. And it was a unique crash, okay? The circumstance that it was really astronomical. It was one of those crazy fluke thunder. Sorry, you know, the bumps and everything like that. It was, and loud, noisy truck. I don't have airbags, man. Full-on Springer front end. it was one of those crazy fluke storms that we had, and it rained like 100% all day, all night. It just poured and poured and poured. And that was one of the years that Southern California got the most craziest rainstorms that we've ever had. So we were having flash flooding everywhere. And I was on my way out to Camarillo to meet my other co-drivers and deliver their trailers and stuff like that to them. Because, like I said, I was driving doubles. So those of you that don't know about semis, doubles mean that you drive little, like, pub trailers that are, I don't know, 26-foot boxes with a con gear that kind of connects the two trailers together, and you pull them around, and they're like snakes. And they're dangerous. I don't care what anybody says. It's dangerous driving doubles because you're driving a snake, basically. And it takes a very, very type of special way of driving it. And it's different. You know, it's not like a regular 48-footer or a 48-footer or a 53-footer or maybe just a 20-footer pulled behind the tractor. It's real easy to do. But when you have two trailers back there and you've got several wheels on the ground, it kind of reacts a little bit different than normal. And there's no quick maneuvers or movements because then you'll flip the trailers. Anyhow, wow, you don't see that every day. Okay. Just when you think you've seen everything, you've seen something else, and it's like, okay, yeah, we'll drive right over the median and onto the other side. I missed the off-ramp. I'm going to go over the median, and I'm going to come out. No, man, I'm going this way. I ain't going that way. I'm laughing because I've done the same thing. So that's why I'm like, I could laugh, okay? Give me a break. Anyways. So the point that I'm trying to make here is the night that I saw him last was really unique and eerie, and I really didn't realize what had happened when it happened, because, like I said, it was raining. I was going about 45 miles an hour. Crazy thing about that is he was a lot slower than I was. I was literally passing him, and I was in the far number four lane, and I was passing him, and he was in the number one lane when I was passing him. And when I looked over at him, he was white knuckling the steering wheel, and he was in a bad situation. And I say he was in a bad situation because at that area where he was, the road curved. It did a dog leg. It curved to the left and then it curved to the right. So it did this, you know, dog leg curve S turn. And I could be backwards. Don't mind me. I'm dyslexic. So I could be reverse. It could be the curve to the right and then curve to the left. I can't quite remember exactly, but I just know the area. And the freeway, at that portion of the freeway is tilted so many amount of degrees. You know, we could be talking 35 degrees, maybe elevation difference from the far number four lane to the far number one lane. The far number four lane is raised higher than the far number one lane. So all the water of the rain drainage system was going to the center divider of the freeway, which the center of the divider of the freeway in the fast lane was getting flooded. It was flooding out. And I think that's what happened. He hydroplaned, slammed on the brakes, or at least, you know, quickly stomped on the brakes as soon as he realized what happened. And, you know, I can't say this is exactly what happened. My opinion, my assumption, that only makes sense to me because I was right there when it happened as I was passing by him and continuing down the highway. What was weird was he hydroplaned. I'm pretty sure of it because of how much flooding we had. As that happened, I continued to keep moving at, 45 miles an hour. I wasn't going to stop. I get in that trucker mode of driving across the country, and you hit snow, you hit certain situations, you don't stop, you keep moving. You can't let go of your momentum, because 99% of the time you let go of your momentum, you can't get going. And that's just bred in me. Even though it's rain, I'm pretty sure I can get going again. But it's like, I get focused in no, we got to get through this. We got to get through this. We got to keep going. You can't stop. And I kept going, and as I'm driving, all of a sudden bright headlights hit my mirror, hit my windshield, and come across the highway around me. Because mind you, this was happening about 11, maybe 11 o'clock at night, 11, 12 o'clock at night, maybe. I can't quite remember exactly, but it was somewhere around that time. And as that happens, the headlights come across the truck, come across me. I look back in my driver's mirror, my rearview mirror, it's funny. Rearview mirror in semis are the big, long, huge mirrors on both sides of the truck. Those are called rearview mirrors. Those of you that may not know. The little bubble mirrors are convex mirrors that are like an eyeball fish lens that allows you to see a lot further in distance. Not distance, but further of away from the truck and the surrounding areas of the truck, seeing somebody that's coming at a 45 or something like that. Anyways, so I was looking in the rearview mirror on the driver's side, and all of a sudden I just see this like steam water looking like thing with what I remember as like the truck itself was kind of halfway across the whole freeway, and there was no more lights, and then it kind of went back across the freeway and ended up in the center divider. And some of you may know who that was, and some of you may not. I'm not going to say the company or anything like that, just due to privacy reasons. That's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. There's no harm, no foul by any stretch of the means of the company. They did their due diligence, and they went as far as hiring a therapist, and allowed us to speak with a therapist. And I kind of laughed back then about that. I thought that was kind of crazy. I mean, there was people that were really tore up about it. And at the time, it hurt me a little bit, and I was tore up, but I guess I, handle things differently. And I never spoke with a therapist, and maybe that may be why, till this day, I always think about it, because I was one of the last individuals a face that he saw and recognized on a daily basis, day in and day out, prior to him losing his life. And that kind of weighs a little bit on me thinking about it. And I didn't realize until now, talking about it here on the show, that it dawned on me that did weigh on me pretty hard. That to think that I was pretty much the last individual. I may not have been the last individual of his last breaths, that he saw. But at that present moment in time, when I did see him and he saw me and we saw each other, that was a familiar face that he knew. And I wasn't there at that moment when he took his last breath or anything. But at the same time, I guess I've kind of had a whole nother experience, life experiences of trying to get through the day in and day out. I'm not a police officer by any stretch of the means, and I'm not fighting crimes with guns or any of that. I am driving an 80,000 pound vehicle, or at least have driven an 80,000 pound vehicle. At this present moment, I'm 16,000 pounds. But my point taken is that it's not a guarantee, and that it took a long time to get my wife to understand that it's not a guarantee. Like, sometimes she wants to plan things or wants to talk to me about this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I still have six tires. Yeah, six tires that I've got to make sure that are okay, that will survive the trip. I've got fuel to make sure I can survive the trip. I've got food to make sure I survive the trip. And I've got to make it from point A to point B without running into anyone or someone running into me. Now, my plan is that hopefully the next time I ever have, I'll be looking behind me a little bit more than I have been. Normally in a semi, I was always really more conscious, aware of people coming up from behind me. The particular day that I got rear-ended, I was driving from one freeway to the next and wasn't really paying attention of who was doing what at the time. At any rate, I guess in a way, there's a lot of peace, and people don't understand why I end up driving, a semi or just driving, period. And there's a lot of peace behind the thought process of, you know what? It's 1 mile at a time, and it's one moment at a time to make it from point A to point B, because it's not a guarantee that my wheel won't fall off and I'll flip the truck, or somebody will run into me, or a life be lost, or something like that, because it is a very dangerous thing. And a lot of times people in general don't really put into conscious awareness behind the fact that we are sitting still, and yes, we're not moving, but we're actually in motion because a vehicle's in motion with the inertia, and yet it doesn't feel like we're moving at all. We don't have the wind hitting us. There's no frame of reference. We're just, you could feel a slight G-force being pushed against the body and you in the seat when you're driving down the highway, and you can feel the movements left or right or whatever, and the elevations you can feel. But there's really no relativity to actually how fast you're really driving down the highway and how fast those wheels are actually turning. And it's not really relevant to our bodies, because we're not, inches off of the pavement with our face almost touching it. So we don't think about it, unless you're actually put in that situation riding a motorcycle and you're like almost getting ready to hit the pavement. Then you have a realization of, oh my God, I'm getting ready to hit this pavement and I'm going to become hamburger meat. But the point being behind this whole entire episode of really why I was doing it was the thought process of getting from point A to point B and coming up with these thought patterns of, everybody is worried about everything. Like everybody in their lives, they have a high priority of what is going on in their world and what they need to accomplish and where they need to go and where the money's coming in and where the money's going out and yada da da and all that stuff. And me, I don't care about any of it. All I care about is surviving from point A to point B. So in a way, in my mind, that you could think of I feel like I'm, you know, Mad Max, living in Mad Max. The only thing that I've got going for me is we're not shooting at each other, at least not yet. Not the end of the world yet, or, you know, the rapture yet, if they want to say. Me personally, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in the rapture, but that's just me. Anybody can claim that it's now or this or that or whatever, what, however, I don't care. It doesn't matter. If you will believe that, by all means, go right ahead. But in like the moments that I live and breathe and drive truck and going from point A to point B, there's a sense of peace behind not focusing about anything else but the next few hundred miles or the next several miles, or just focusing to go from this point to that point, you know, from point A to point B, point B to point C, and then point C to point D. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. It was point A today, this morning, it was point A to point B. And then from B, I've got to get to C for fuel. And then from C, I got to get to D. And then from D, I got to get to delivery. So, yeah, I have several points that I've got to get through. And each one of those checkpoints, if you want to call them like a video game, because that's basically what they are, checkpoints. And it's like, ding, ding, refill life and refill food and refill the... It's basically a checkpoint, which kind of brilliant if you think about it. You know, a video game checkpoint, that's what it is for me. Going from point A to point B is basically a checkpoint, survival, getting from one station to the next, and then you're safe at that present moment in time. And then you get from that checkpoint to the next checkpoint, you know, checkpoint. Sorry, my mouth is moving faster than my lips are able to keep up with it. And, you know, trying to drive and go downhill and all the speeds and calculations all at the same time, my brain's going, what? But, yeah, so this doesn't really tie in to Horace's afterlife, but at the same time, it really does tie into Horace's afterlife, and there is a haunting that I have behind this, on this freeway, and does it scare me? No, by any stretch of the means, not at all. I feel that, you know, this individual has gone on to be like possibly an angel, if there is such a thing. You know, I believe that there is, that he still exists. I, you know, have a hard time saying that, you know, once we're gone and that's it. No, I can't. I just can't accept that. You know, that to me, that doesn't exist. Is not fathomable. I can't even get the word out. Wow. I cannot vibe with that. But what I can vibe with is souls being recycled and energy being recycled. And that, you know, has been a proven fact, is that we are energy. And consciousness has energy. And energy, you know, technically cannot be destroyed. It can be transformed and it can be transmuted and it can be sent in different locations. But to be no more, that's not possible. Okay, yeah, if you want to go down the quantum theory of physics and stuff like that, yes, it can end up going into another dimension of time, and then therefore, because it's not in our third dimension, we'll say it doesn't exist anymore. No, it's just another dimension, another layer, another location. Again, whatever time and dimension of existence that we're in, you know, the moment that we're in. But yeah, I wanted to get you guys something tonight, and I wanted to talk about something tonight, and I didn't want to leave you hanging with nothing coming out, and so I wanted to share you that story of that individual, that will be forever remembered every day that I pass that freeway. And I'm sure there are others out there too that may listen to the show and may remember him and coworkers and stuff that we once knew each other probably remember him. And some may have forgot about it and everything like that, but it's just unique to be able to drive every single day through that section every single day and never forget. And that's what I experience every time I go through that area, is never forgetting. And maybe that may be how existence lives on, is by never forgetting. If there is no afterlife, maybe that's the afterlife, is in a memory. Maybe, maybe not. I could be wrong. I don't know. But that's what I have for you guys, man. And next week I'll have Horace's afterlife up there, and we'll go down that rabbit hole. Until next time. Thank you, guys. Stay safe. Be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. This is Interstellar Frequency. End of transmission. Stereo Star.